Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are now in chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini, the beautiful volume where Bhagwan, as the devotee, has asked the questions and Bhagwan, as the Lord, has answered the questions. And as you read Sandeha Nivarini, the moment you think, what if, whenever a question arises in your mind, you find that Bhagwan himself is asking that question and Swami lovingly giving solutions for those queries. That is why Sandeha Nivarini is a beautiful volume. This is the second book that Bhagwan wrote. As we all know, Swami did not write it as a book. Bhagwan wrote as a series of articles in Sanatana Sarathi when Bhagwan started this monthly magazine way back in 1958. Bhagwan started writing every month for this mouthpiece of the ashram, and after months of writing the series Prema Vahini, Bhagwan simultaneously started Sandeha Nivarini. And as we have seen in all these chapters, there are so many questions that the devotee asks and Bhagwan answers. But the chapter 7 is a little different, because in chapter 7 there are no more questions. In chapter 7 the devotee is saying, Swami, I don't have any questions. You just only tell me how to be close to you, that's all. How to be near and dear to you. And that is when Bhagwan lays down beautiful tenets for us to practice in our daily life. And one by one, Bhagwan delineates these beautiful directions. As you read them, they seem simple. They are indeed simple. We make things complicated, as Bhagwan used to say. As you contemplate on these pertinent principles of life that Bhagwan has given, you feel, if I take even one of these instructions, that is enough for my life. That is how these messages are. We've divided chapter 7 into various segments, and the last few episodes we have been contemplating on segment 7.4. 7.4 segment has the points number 31 to 41 of chapter 7. So let's once again listen to this segment, listen to what Bhagwan has written, and then we'll spend our time on the last point, point number 41, for this episode.
Try as far as possible within your means to satisfy the needs of the poor, who are really Daridra Narayana. Share with them whatever food you have and make them happy. 32. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others. Avoid doing such things to others. 33. For the faults and sins committed in ignorance, sincerely repent from your heart and try not to repeat the faults and sins again. Pray to God to bless you with the strength and the courage needed for you to do this. 34. Do not allow anything to come near you, which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. 35. Yield not to cowardice. Hold on to Ananda. 36. Do not get welled up when people praise you. Do not feel dejected when people blame you? 37. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. 38. Do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes yourself and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. 39. Even if you cannot or will not do any punya or good deed, do not conceive or carry out any papa or bad deed. This is best. 40. Whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort, pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. 41. Whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking about all and sundry, but utilize it in meditating on God, or it is good to render service to others.
11 points in segment 7.4. As I was listening to point number 40, wherein Bhagwan says, if someone points out any mistake in you, don't immediately start looking for that person's mistake. Instead, be grateful. While when we hear this, it seems so right to do this, but in actual practice, many times we fail, we fall while trying to adhere to this, isn't it? It can happen that you are working in the office and a colleague of yours goes and says something about you to someone, to another person, or to your superior, and the immediate reaction would be, how dare he say all these things about me? Is he good enough? I can show 10 mistakes in him, what he's doing. That's the normal tendency, isn't it? Or it could be in the samiti, it could be in the center. You sing a bhajan and someone comes and says, you know what, that bhajan that you sang, there were some errors in that. You should have sung this way. You should not have sung in this speed or in this scale. And when we hear that, you know, the immediate reaction is, why is this person pointing out mistakes in me? Is he all perfect whenever he sings or she sings? They have an agenda against me. They all the time want to put me down. I can show so many days when this person who is advising me now has actually erred. He has gone wrong so many times. I mean, these kind of thoughts do happen. And so I think to be conscious of this and to all the time remember, it's okay, it's none of my business. If some negative feedback is coming, it's no problem. Let me thank that person. Let me now not immediately look for the negative in that person, but let me take it as something for me to work upon. Then we open ourselves to correction. We don't encourage any negative thoughts, any negative feelings in us, our heart is pure, our heart is clean. And the other person also feels very comfortable in sharing feedback with us. We may not accept all the feedback. We may do our own checks for everything that has been told to us. Someone might say that this is something that is not good in you. We don't have to fully go by that. If we want to take a second opinion, we may do that before we do any course correction in our lives. But if we are open to any feedback that comes from no matter who, then we will get to hear the different ways we can improve ourselves. And people also will feel very comfortable talking to us. People will feel very comfortable sharing their opinions with us. They will feel that he's so supportive. You need not have any reservations in telling him. Even if he has not done something well, he will be very open to making corrections and learning. So I think that's a very beautiful trait for us to practice, for us to every day in our daily life see that we try and consciously live up to it. It's a very beautiful principle to live in action every single day, because every single day it does happen. People talk so many things about us. But once we accept them, we welcome them, and we take them with a smile, then life moves on a positive trajectory. And that is something which will make our lives more beautiful. So that was point number 40. Yes, we have dealt with in detail in the previous session the discussion on point number 40. Today, let's move on to point number 41, where Bhagwan is saying, whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking all and sundry, no gossip, but utilize it in meditating on God. Or it is good to render service to others. I remember as students, Bhagwan used to always tell us to talk less. And as you walk on the spiritual path, proper utilization of time becomes so important. Not only to ensure that we don't lose precious time, but also to ensure that our purity does not get compromised often. Whenever we have few moments of leisure, those are the times people want to chill out, those are the times you want to at times do things which may not conform to right behavior. As someone says, empty mind is devil's workshop. And that's what happens often with youngsters. It happens with all of us. And Swami is telling you should be very, very careful of those moments. If you get a little leisure, don't spend it talking about all and sundry. If you have got extra time, use that time to think about God. Use that time to do service. And I think it is for this reason that if you see the schedule of the students in the hostel, there is hardly any spare time. All the time is spent either doing your academics or you are doing a prayer, or you are doing some service in the hostel. You are part of some self-reliance department, or you are part of some activity in the college, or you are part of some event in the mandir. So some way or the other, your mind is on God, your mind is on service, and you don't have too much of leisure, because the mind always goes outward. The mind always wants to be adventurous and put us into trouble. And that is what Swami is warning us. Swami is saying, don't spend your extra time talking about all and sundry. And many times we feel that, oh, we are making our life boring, you know, we want to have fun. Swami is not telling you should not have fun. But there are so many ways of having fun. There are so many ways of adding that zing to your life. There are so many ways of making your life so colorful. There are so many ways of making your life so lively, so meaningful. And the Satya Sai organization, the Satya Sai hostels, the Satya Sai schools, the colleges, these are avenues that Bhagwan has given us to ensure that all our free time is spent doing things which will only better our personality. I remember how the alumni of Bhagwan's institutions in 2019 took this decision to come every weekend to Prashantinilayam. In fact, from November 1st till March 2nd, 2020, the alumni of Bhagwan's institutions, they used to come every Saturday, Sunday to Prashantinilayam to serve. All their weekends were spent in service. Apart from this, during birthday time, they would be here for 10 days helping the All India Satya Sai organizations in their medical camp. Apart from that, during New Year and Christmas, they would be here in Prashantinilayam for 15 days. So all their spare time would be spent in service. In fact, they do a rainbow of service activities in the ashram, from serving in all the four canteens to volunteering at the mobile cloakroom counter to engaging in Prashantinilayam cleanup drive, to visiting devotees in the old sheds, to serving in the general hospital, in the super speciality hospital, taking up one department after other in the super speciality hospital and cleaning up the files, cleaning up the documents. And slowly this seva momentum has picked up so much that now the Bhaktanivas sheds, those sheds in the Prashantinilayam ashram, are being maintained by so many alumni brothers. In fact, they, with the help of ashram authorities, have taken the responsibility to ensure that these sheds are all the time well maintained and the devotees who come and stay here are not inconvenienced in any way. So that is how whatever leisure time that these brothers who are in Bengaluru, in Mysore, in Chennai, you know, who can easily drive down to Puttaparthi. Even there are people who come from other states and join, even people from east, from north, they take a flight and come. And they want to be part of every weekend service in Prashantinilayam. And during the birthday celebrations, when the All India organization conducts the 24-hour free medical camp, it's a 5-day activity where 2,000 to 3,000 people get served by a group of doctors. And now alumni and current students of the campuses, they join this effort, and this whole effort, this medical camp, has been completely digitized. Actually, there now there are proper cabins for doctors and crowd control facilitation. In fact, one of the old students who has a non-governmental organization, non-profit organization called UC, he has made a software to ensure that all these data is properly collected and collated. And So there are a lot of students now, even if they are not in Prashanthi Nilayam, wherever they are, they can help with joining this service in a virtual way. So that is how so many avenues are being opened up for those who want to serve. In fact, I remember when the Kerala floods happened in 2018, more than 100 alumni participated in person, taking turns visiting Kerala over several weeks to support the flood relief work. In fact, on Radio Sai, on our YouTube channel, now renamed as Sri Sathya Sai Official, we have a documentary on the Seva activities that were done by the alumni joining hands with the members of the Sathya Sai organization. 1,000 alumni supported the cause from remote areas. They made school kits for the flood affected children in Kerala, and the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning campuses helped in assembling these school kits. And after the floods, the Kerala organization wished that if there would be a primary healthcare center in every district of Kerala, that would be of immense help. And that is how all the alumni who were part of this Kerala project now got together, and they said, this is what we are going to make it happen. And today, 8 out of 14 districts of Kerala already have a primary healthcare center. And the seva continues. And now such free primary healthcare centers are being set up in other states, in Odisha, in Karnataka, in Chhattisgarh, in Andhra Pradesh, in Telangana. And everywhere the alumni are working along with the youth and the members of the Sathya Sai organization. So all these activities of digitization, increasing youth engagement and training prospective youth on the best practices in maintaining this healthcare and standardizing the centers so that all of them look alike and operate with standardized operating procedures, all of these have happened. Now the patients who visit to these primary health care centers are given a unique identification code, and all their medical records are accessible across all the Sri Sathya Sai primary health care centers in the country. So there is seamless experience for patients. Today a patient can visit a primary health care center in Kerala. Tomorrow, if he's in Karnataka, he can visit there and the data will be available. So this not only helps the patient, it also helps to draw a lot of insights from the data to understand the patient needs, to help in follow-up of the patient care. So all of these activities have happened because the students, the former students of Bhagwan's University, said that, you know, when we have leisure on our Saturdays and Sundays, we are going to use that time in service. And today, this service initiative of the old students of Bhagwan's institutions acquired a new dimension once COVID started, when the government announced national lockdown in March. All of us have heard about how the migrant workers were stranded in different places and they needed support, they needed help, they needed food. Public transportation was completely shut down and thousands of these migrants, they resorted to walking to go back to their home. And here again, the alumni found a beautiful opportunity to serve. And that is how alumni initially joined those old students who already had non-governmental organizations running. So there are so many alumni who have non-profit organizations who are running these organizations to serve society. And in that period of lockdown, when there were a lot of restrictions by the government, many alumni joined these brothers and they were distributing dry ration kits, dry groceries to migrant workers in Bengaluru, in Chennai. In fact, this work was so appreciated by the government authorities, by the police, by the nodal officers in the government, by the IPS and IAS officers, by BBMP Bangalore, the Bangalore Municipal Corporation, that they started identifying the alumni with this kind of work in times of need. And if you see, this is what Bhagwan had inculcated. Every Sunday in the hostel, every student would be engaged in some service activity or the other. And every student, once he's part of the system, once he's part of Sri Sathya Sai's system of integral education, he experiences what it is to serve in the villages. And that is why every student's heart feels for those who are disadvantaged. And that is how all the leisure time, whatever they have now, is spent in seva. In fact, during the initial phase of the lockdown, from the last week of March and the month of April, 1,000 dry ration kits were distributed to the migrant workers and underprivileged families who needed support. And this was done with the cooperation of the local Gram Panchayat to help not miss out the really needy families. So if you see this habit, this thought that whenever I have spare time, this spare time should be used in bhakti, in karma yoga. Bhagwan says bhakti and karma are completely intertwined. Devotion, meditating on God, thinking about Swamis is like the basement, Swami said. It's like the foundation. And doing the selfless work is like the wall. What will you do with the wall without a foundation? What is a foundation if you're not going to build a wall and make a house? So Swami says both are so important. And so whatever work you do, Swami is saying, if you have leisure, if you have spare time, use it. Use it doing something that will make your life fulfilled. Over 60,000 hungry migrants were served by the alumni since the time COVID calamity started. And this includes 1,75,000 units of mostly long shelf life foods like kheplas, masala chapatis and so on. And of course, water, buttermilk juices, bananas, buns, all these were served to the migrant workers during the COVID lockdown. In fact, I was talking to one brother from Bengaluru. His name is Shravan. And Shravan told me this story. When the lockdown was announced, yes, there were many migrant workers who needed help. Shravan stays close to the Bengaluru ashram, Bhagwan's ashram in Kadugudi. And Shravan noticed that it is not just the migrant workers. There's another group of people who are really in need of help. And this is the group of patients and patient attendants. All these patients who have come from far states like Bihar, like Odisha, like West Bengal. And they had come to Bengaluru and they were staying in Kadugudi because they have appointment with Bhagwan's hospital, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of High Medical Sciences in Whitefield, or the close by Vaidehi Hospital. So all these people who had come to be checked up in the hospital now did not know what to do because the hospital could not operate as per the government's direction, and they were stranded in Kadugudi, and all of them are people with very low income. They somehow managed to come just for their health checkup. They come because these are free hospitals. Swami's hospital is free, and Vaidehi hospital also treats all these patients who have nowhere to go. And that is the reason why all these patients had come. And now, with complete lockdown everywhere, they had difficulty in finding food because all the hotels were closed. All the restaurants were closed. And these people did not know how to survive. And Brother Shravan felt this is something where we should go out, reach out and see what we can do to help these patients who had come to Bhagwan's hospital. So even as there were alumni brothers who were serving the migrant workers, Shravan with a few other brothers and members of the Satyasai organization, they decided to provide food to all these patients, and they started working with the government, and the government permitted that food could be distributed in a particular shop. That shop belonged to one devotee who has been in Kadugudi for many years, and he was very familiar with the place, and he knew about the condition also of people who come to Kadugudi. And so this shop became the distribution point for all these patients, and Shravan, with the help of many other brothers, started making dry food. You couldn't give them rice and rasam and sambar and dal because the government had restrictions. You cannot have people congregate. You cannot serve in a particular place. They cannot sit and eat. You can only offer them food packets which they can collect and go. And that's why the brothers made food items like keplas. Keplas are like something like rotis and chapatis, and which will stay for longer. And so this is what was made, and it was distributed to these patients in Kadugudi area. And once the distribution started, after 2-3 days, there were so many requests from people in and around Kadugudi. There were so many requests from people living in slums there in Bengaluru that they also need food. And so the distribution point from 2 became 6, and now food started being served in all these 6 distribution points. And Shravan, with the help of other brothers and devotees, started doing this. Their weekly expenditure was about 40,000 rupees. And when they started the service, Shravan thought that, you know, probably we'll be able to run the service for 2.5-3 weeks. That's the amount of money that he had collected. You know, that's what a few like-minded people, devotees, had contributed. And so he thought that, you know, that is the duration he can sustain with the amount of money available. Bhagwan always says that you should not solicit donations. So this is what had come voluntarily. And it was close to 3 weeks, and the distribution was going on so well. The people were happy, people were so grateful. But at the end of 3 weeks, when the lockdown continued and the people were really looking forward to this supply of food, Shravan didn't know what to do because there was no more money with him. Whatever donations he had got, he had reached the last penny and he had no heart to stop the work, and there was no way he was going to ask the people who had contributed to contribute more, because they had said that this is what they can give. And now, that day, Shravan did not know what to do. He did not want to stop the service, but he did not know how to continue the service. And that day, he says, he went to his altar, he went to Bhagwan's chair, which is there in his house, and he broke down in front of Bhagwan, and he said, "Swami, you have to help us, Swami. We want to continue this service. Without your help, it is impossible. You have guided us till now, and now on, you have to completely take over." And with that heartfelt prayer at Bhagwan's feet, Shravan surrendered, and he says, "You won't believe, just a few hours after this, I got a call from a devotee, one auntie, who said, 'Shravan, I heard that you are doing some service activities for all these patients and workers. Can I participate? How much is the expenditure?'" And when Shravan explained the whole process and how they started this service and how they are almost now reached a inflection point because there's no more resources, this auntie said, "You don't worry, I will look after now. You know, I'm going to supply the food for the next 2 weeks. You don't have to worry." And this auntie started not just giving money. She ensured that the food was delivered in Shravan's home. She got the groceries, she got it packed, she got it made, she got the food made, and she just delivered the finished product to Shravan, and Shravan had to only go and distribute. And that is how that work continued. And even as this was happening, when Shravan was casually talking to another devotee, someone he knew for long, and he was just saying that, you know, this is the work that we have started, not really expecting that person to help or anything. And that person immediately said, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that you have started this work? I want to join. I want to help you." And he says, "You go to my home immediately and my wife will give you the check. You take that check. It's a check for 1 lakh rupees. You know, you can use this for another 3 weeks. Just continue the work." And Shravan says, "Who are we to do the work? It is Bhagwan who so beautifully takes over. And this is the joy. This is that moment in life when you feel, thank God, I took up this service activity. What happiness, what fulfillment it is when you engage in tasks like this. Doesn't it make your life meaningful? Is this not makes your life so fulfilling? Why shouldn't we spend our spare time in these activities?" This is what Swami is telling. Shravan says that Swami gave so much. In fact, it came to a point where after the lockdown was lifted and government facilitated the movement of all these people, you know, the patients went back to their homes, and he had actually surplus amount. He actually gave money back to the person who gave 1 lakh rupees. Some amount was left. He said, "You know, we used whatever was needed, and I'm giving this back to you. You can use it for something else." I mean, when Bhagwan gives, he gives you more. And that is the beautiful joy of spending our time in selfless service. I was talking to another brother from North India. He is the district president of Faridabad, Brother Shalab Mittal. And Shalab was telling me how when these migrant laborers were looking looking for support and looking for conveyance to go back to their homes, and they were going through a lot of hardships. And it was at this time that Shalab and the district of Faridabad, which is part of the national capital region of Delhi, they thought they should come and do something. They should come together and do something for these people who are stranded kilometers away from their homes, and they are not able to go back. They don't have food to eat. And so 98 families came together and they made 1700 food packets. And once this was ready, they said, we will go on the highway. It's the highway from Faridabad to a place called Kosi. It is a distance of 100 kilometers. So they just took these 1700 food packets and they went on the highway. They thought, we will help whoever is in need, whoever is hungry. And once they reached the place called Kosi, they saw there 400 to 500 people stranded there. All these people were waiting for buses which will take them to their homes. Kosi was a junction. From there were buses going to three other places in three directions. And all these people, they have been there in Kosi for so many days, for 2-3 days. They had no food to eat. They were so desperate. They were so famished. They were so hungry. And once the devotees went with these food packets, you know, the people there, the workers were so grateful. They received this food with so much of gratitude, with so much of eagerness. And everyone was distributed these food packets and more. And for the devotees, it was such a beautiful moment. And after they had completed the distribution, they had given everyone, they found that 7-8 packets were left. And so they thought, okay, let's just take it back. And, you know, on our way back, if we find someone in need, we will maybe give these packets to that person. And so that's how they were returning back with these 7-8 packets. And on the way, they stopped at a place where they had to make a payment. There was the owner of a bus, and they had used this bus in their seva activities, and they had to pay the amount. So when they stopped and went to this bus owner, suddenly this bus owner said, there is this person from Bihar with his family, and you know, he has not had food. Would you have something? Can you help him? And this bus owner had no clue of the seva that this brother and all these devotees were engaged in since morning. He had no idea. He simply said that, you know, there is this person from Bihar and he is here with so many members of his family and he's not had food and he's waiting for some conveyance to go back. Do you think you can help? And imagine the smile on everybody's face, you know, when they went back hurriedly to the vehicle and brought those 7-8 food packets which were left, and they gave it to this really needy person from Bihar for him and for his family. It's almost like, you know, Bhagwan has decided who is going to get what. You are just an instrument. You are just a medium for his work. And if you take that step, he is going to make everything else work out for you. And for Shalab, this was such an inspiring moment for all the workers, for all the devotees, for all the brothers who were part of that seva, that, you know, they felt that Swami is telling us, you just have a pure intent and I will do everything else. Where each packet has to go, who should be the recipient of every element of service, the Lord decides. And that is what Bhagwan is telling, that if you spend your leisure time in doing such service activities, this is what will make your life a celebration. This is what will add so much meaning to your life. Just a couple of days ago, I was listening to the moving story of a doctor from Mumbai. Her name is Taru Jindal. There's a beautiful TED talk which, when you hear, makes your heart turn into sponge. Miss Taru, after she finished her master's in surgery in gynecology in Mumbai, she thought, what should I do with my life? She says that living in Mumbai, I know that Mumbai is full of doctors. It's super saturated with doctors. Maybe I should go somewhere where people need me more. And that is when she thought, let me go rural. And she went to one of the most underdeveloped districts of India. In fact, people warned her before taking that plunge. People says no. People said that's a very dangerous place. It's not safe for you. You're a single woman. There are a lot of news about that place being very notorious. And do you really want to take this decision? But Miss Taru said, no, I want to do this. Let me go out and see for myself how unsafe it is and how bad it is. And through two non-profit organizations, Doctors for You and Care India, she goes to this district of India and she goes to the district hospital of that particular area. And once she went there, it was a complete horror scene. She was absolutely unprepared for what she was seeing there. It was supposed to be the district hospital, but there were no trained doctors there. And the operation theater was worse than a normal room. The operation theater was open. Anybody could walk in. People were walking with slippers. Even dogs were going inside. And there were biomedical waste outside the theater. There were blood stains all over. There was a foul odor coming there. There was placenta lying there. Because that is the place where all the women from the district came for delivery. And there was nobody. There were needles jutting out of waste. And she felt, oh my God. And to make matters worse, she saw that a woman was delivering a mother in bare hands. And the baby was born and there was no cloth. So a piece of sari was thrown and that's what was used to cover the baby. And the mother's stomach was just stitched with a normal thread and needle. Nothing. Not the thread and needle, not the OT sutures, just the normal thread and needle, what we use for our clothes, the same thing that was used to stitch the mother's stomach. And when she saw all this, she was so shocked, because the person who was doing this so-called operation was not a doctor. She was just a sweeper. There was no one to help. There was no doctors coming there. There were no instruments. The baby incubator was there, but it was defunct. The nurses had no training. They didn't know even how to check blood pressure. And there were no doctors anywhere.
And when she asked and talked to these people, they said, "Madam, no one comes here. There are no doctors come here. We manage everything. So when women come, the sweeper does the delivery, and you know, and even as the delivery is happening, there is no isolation. Anybody can go in. There are half a dozen people watching the surgery, and babies are born low on oxygen, and they cannot be revived. There are no incubators, and she saw that so many there are children dying in the womb because they need urgent caesarean, and there is nobody to help. She saw a mother who had ruptured her uterus during labor, and she was rushing out of the hospital in an auto rickshaw. I mean, the scenes were so traumatic, so difficult for a doctor to digest, that she thought, "Oh my God, I don't think I can do here anything. I mean, this is beyond repair. I can't do anything." She comes back to her room, her home, and she's thinking, you know, should I continue to work here or should I just leave? Should I just pack my bags? And even as she was packing her bags, one thought came to her. She said, "Yes, if I go, yes, I can escape from all this. I will have relief. Yes, because I will not be witnessing all these horrible scenes. But what about the relief of all these people? Their situation will be the same. They will continue to suffer. They will continue to lead a life of utter neglect. They will continue to die in such precarious conditions." And she says, she remembered one quote which said, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. I am only one, but I am one. I may be just one, but I am one. Yes, I cannot do everything, but I can do something, and I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do." And that is what spurred her to stay back and do something for that hospital. And next day, she decided, as a first step, to clean the hospital. And she galvanized the support of all the people, and the security guards, the sweepers, the clerks, everyone came. And she talked to everyone. She gave her patient ear to each of them, and they all poured out their woes. And she said, "Does not matter. Now we are going to work." So she herself started doing the cleaning work. And once she dirtied her hands and she started sweeping and cleaning, everyone else joined, because the OT assistant, he the next day started painting the OT, buying the paint with his own money. This was so different. How could such a change in attitude happen? And the OT attendant said, "You know, if a doctor from Mumbai can come and help us, why can't I do?" That is what did the magic. And slowly, the whole face of the operation theater changed. And Daru Jindal started training the nurses. There was one occasion when one mother, when she was delivering a baby, her uterus came out, and the untrained nurse who was attending, that she didn't know what to do, and it was such, the mother was in a pool of blood, and they were not able to do anything. And it is at this point that Taru went and for 45 minutes, for 50 minutes, she was in an awkward position trying to put the uterus back into the mother. And even as she was doing that, a dog entered the theater. I mean, that is how terrible the scene was. But when she was successful in putting the uterus back into the mother, finally the uterus contracted and the bleeding stopped. And when that happened, she says that completely changed everyone. They felt that here is someone who is here to support us. Here is someone who is here to hold our hands, who is here to save us. And change started happening rapidly. And she started training the nurses and she made so many posters. She had classes. And now the hospital manager came to the spot and suddenly he opened the stores. The stores had dozens of scrub material and equipments which are not being used. Nobody knew it was there. All that was opened and all the instruments were brought out. And now she trained people how to use this equipment, how to use these instruments. And now she set up the discipline for operation theater. Nobody could now walk in with whatever they're wearing or whatever, however, whoever. And the operation theater was made an isolation room and there was proper gowns that people wore if they were going into the operation theater. There's someone who stood at the gate and said, "No more. It is not a public place." And slowly that whole culture of how a hospital should function slowly sunk into the people there. And proper cesarean surgery started happening in 3-4 months. And in fact, the turnaround in the hospital was so fantastic. The newspapers carried the story. It all happened with Shramdan. It all happened with, as Taru Jindal says, it is, we have to shred our shroud of qualification. We have to become down to earth. We have to demonstrate a higher behavior. Once we demonstrate a higher behavior, people will be inspired to better themselves. And in just 3-4 months, so much change happened that by Bhagwan's grace, a new collector came to that area. And this collector gave so much support. He started doing midnight inspections. He started rebuilding the toilets. He started ensuring that there is accountability, responsibility, duty, and he removed all the administrative blocks, what bottlenecks, what was holding the growth of the hospital. And in 6 months, a hospital which was in doldrums for decades, in 2016, when the government institute a Kaya Kalp Award, this award is to recognize the hospitals with best sanitation and hygiene in every district of the state. This hospital won that award. This hospital won the award for being the hospital with best hygiene and sanitation. In 6 months, mind-boggling change. And that's what Taru says. It's just one person. One person is enough. I am enough to make a difference. Each person should think, I am enough to make a difference. In fact, after that, Taru Jindal returned to Bihar and she went to another remote village and she started a health center there. There the children were so malnourished. I mean, these are children of the farmers who give us fruits and vegetables to eat, but they are in such pitiable conditions. And she improved the nutrition levels of the children there. And she thought that she will live her life in this manner, trying to bring change in rural India. And because rural India, she felt, needs so much of support, so much of help. And change is so quick. Change can happen just like that. It just, someone has to take that lead. And she was saying when she was doing this work that she always slept so well because her life was so filled with meaning. She had so much joy when she was seeing this change. But even as this was happening, she says suddenly something happened to her body. She lost control of her thirst. She lost control of what she was eating. Her body's enzymes were functioning very horribly. She felt that as a woman, a lot of things that were happening in the body which were not proper, and slowly all her life sustaining hormones were behaving crazily. And then when she went to the hospital and checked up, she found that she has brain tumor, and it came to a point where she was unable to even walk to the bathroom. And she says, it was at this point I started thinking, I don't know how many more years are left in me, but whatever time God gave me, I did my bit, and I did it in time. I did not wait for this thing to happen. I did not wait to get settled. I did not wait for another opportunity. I did not miss the chance that God gave me. No one knows what is going to happen tomorrow. So the time to make contribution is today. She asks this question. If you want to lead a life of contribution, should we do it when we are 25 or should we do it when we are 55? Should we do it when we have arthritis, not just in our joints but in our minds? How can we do at that point in time? We should do it when we are young, when there is spark in us. That is when we should light the fire of change and make difference in people's lives. I shared this story because it really, really moved me. And I feel that this is how time should be spent. If we have spare time, if we have an opportunity, this is how we can make a difference, not to others' lives, but to our own life. This is how we can ensure that whatever time God has given us, we have put it to best use. We don't know when the call is going to come and our time will be up. We don't know how our life is going to be tomorrow. What we have is the present, and this present should be a present to ourselves. And this is what Swami is telling. Whatever moments you have, if you have spare time, use it in thinking about God. Use it in serving those who need your smile, your care, your heart. So dear listeners, that is what Bhagwan is saying in this segment 7.4, point number 41 of chapter 7 of Sandhya Nivarani. We'll continue this in the coming episodes of Vahini Satsang. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. It was a joy offering this episode to all of you, and I'm really grateful to Bhagwan for this chance to share these thoughts on this beautiful Thursday. Thank you so much, Sairam.